Now, 11-year-old Anissa Scott of Madison was shot on Tuesday when someone fired a gun into the car where she was riding. More than 100 people gathered in a Madison park yesterday to remember Anissa and release balloons as she was being taken off life support. At a news conference earlier in the week, family members, including grandmother Cindy Robinson, urged people to put down the guns.
We need to end the violence, the gang violence. We have lost a precious child that we can never get back. It could have been anybody else's child. It happened to be ours.
Anissa Scott's death comes as Madison has seen a sharp rise in violent crime this year. 10 homicides have happened so far, plus 143 shooting incidents. 49 of those happened in July alone, a one-month record since we started keeping track. Madison is not alone. Milwaukee and other cities around the country are reporting more shootings. And while police try to solve cases, the work of preventing retaliation and further violence can fall to community groups. So in a few minutes, we'll talk with someone doing that work. Now we welcome the president of the Madison Common Council. She's Alder Sherry Clark, Council President Carter. I'm sorry, she's Alder Sherry Carter. Council President Carter, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We can't find other words to describe it. Anissa Scott's shooting is just heartbreaking. And it comes in this year where we've seen more shootings in Madison than the city's used to. After this latest incident, what are you thinking?
Well, what I'm thinking is that the Black community is going to have to come together and really work at reaching out to these young people. That was part of my press conference on Wednesday, is asking for people to come out and reach out to young people. The death of Anissa is tragic on so many different levels, but it needs to be the catalyst that brings us together and to stop the gun violence.
Police, people who study this, they say they don't have clear answers about the reason that shootings have been up here and around the country. Do you have any idea why this seems to be a more violent year than usual?
Well, my theory is that it is a collection of everything that has happened. It's COVID-19. It's loss of jobs. It's coming to the end of the moratorium
We've ended the evictions moratorium.
Eviction. Thank you so much. Yeah, the moratorium on eviction. It's all these things, I think, that has come together to create what you can call the perfect storm. And I think that we need to, especially with jobs, I mean, not only is there a loss of jobs, there's not that many job companies hiring. So it's even more difficult, right? And so we look at all of that. It's not one thing or another, but I think it's the accumulation of everything that's happening.
In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about community groups working to prevent violence. What do you see the city's role should be in supporting, in implementing, supplementing that kind of work?
Well, I do think that we should supplement it, but I also think that community groups have to look at several resources, if they can, to support their work. It can't just be city government. It can't be county government. And it can't just be state government. It has to be a combination of all of that, plus foundations coming together to help these community groups. But the bottom line is, if you know a young person, reach out, talk to them, be their mentor, be their peer. Mm-hmm. They need someone who's on the street that they can identify with.
Yeah, it makes it hard when it's older people or people who haven't lived those circumstances to really gain credibility sometimes. When you say, though, that community groups need to look to different sources, are we talking about the finances to support this kind of work, or are we talking about the establishing leadership and goals and strategy here?
I think we're talking about everything. I agree that it has to be finances too, but it has to be looking for volunteers that can help your organization on all different levels, so that the ones that are out on the street that can get the grassroots bootstraps can get out there and do that work, while other volunteers might be doing the administrative work. We have to work together on all levels.
And what are your priorities as Common Council President when it comes to stopping violence?
Well, I am looking at working with all community groups, especially the groups of the formerly incarcerated who can tell their story, and they can actually identify with these young adults because they've been there. They were them at one time. So I'm really looking at working with them, but I'm also looking at going forward. I've started a task force on critical issues affecting the Black community, and I'm really looking at bringing together leaders in the Black community and really trying to implement within the Black community, within the churches, within the different community organizations. This is we're at critical mass, and we all have to work together on this.
Council
but
President
Carter. We'll start out with the gun violence because that's critical at this time.
Sure. Council President Carter, thank you for sharing your perspective with us today.
Thank you for allowing me to come on your show. Thank you.
We appreciate it. That was Madison Common Council President Sherry Carter talking with us about the rise in shootings this year. And as you have questions about preventing gun violence, you can call us at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the work of interrupting violence? Again, that number is 800-642-1234. Now we turn to Anthony Cooper. He's the executive director of the Focused Interruption Coalition. He's also a nonviolent crisis intervention instructor for the Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development in Madison. Anthony, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We just talked with Council President Carter about Anissa Scott's killing, and that, as she put it, tragedy has really put it at the front of the news cycle, the concept of gun violence. But for a lot of people, violent crime is not an issue that just popped up this week or this year. It's just a reality where they live. How important is that to remember when we're talking about this?
I mean, it's definitely very, very important. That means that, you know, that's also the separation of what we talk about, what we have in our community. As much as that we talk about, but our focus is in our community, talking about equality and things of that nature. We're definitely is separate. We're in a town of three tails, if we're really being honest. And how do we make sure that we're having that conversation, but then also how are we preventing that from being something that is destroying our youth, but then also destroying our young men and women that who are living it day to day.
We saw signs at events remembering 11-year-old Anissa Scott urging people to put down the guns. What is it going to take to make that happen?
What it's going to really take in order to make that happen is a collaborative from everyone. I was listening when Council President Sherry Carter was speaking. It's not just on the city. It's not just on the county. It takes everyone in our community to be able to work together. I mean this from the homeless person who's living on the street to the CEO of a Fortune 500, because this is affecting all of us.
Yeah, Madison is definitely not alone in seeing a rise in shootings. You know, we heard our earlier guest call it a perfect storm. What's your sense of why we're seeing a particularly violent year when it comes to guns?
I mean, when you look at all the different things that was going on just in our community, we talk about from COVID to people being homeless, to people being able to finding ways of being able to support their families, being jobless. These are all the things that are, I mean, again, these are things that were happening, but now they're at an all-time high. There are family members that who are in fear of whether or not if they're going to have a place to stay tomorrow. right? Or whether or not, or when when it opens back up, when they can actually be evicted, you know, and it's not the fact that they don't want to pay rent, it's that they don't have the funds in order to keep paying rent. And of course, that's a whole nother bucket of being able to talk to not only landlords, but also being able to navigate situations. Now we have to have a bigger conversation and have we're talking about having a conversation with mortgage companies, right, or lending agencies, because you know, for some people, again, I don't feel it's talked about enough, it is business as usual.
Yeah.
So how do we shift that from these trying times? Because now we also have to be able to talk about the trauma that many of the parents and many of the children are facing right now. You know, because I mean, yes, we have gun violence that is happening at all time high, but also you have to talk about battered situations that are happening inside of the home that are not also being reported. Right. So again, this is a community challenge. This is something that we have to all come together and to be able to not only just support, but then also to be able to find different ways of lightening the load.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the fact that gun violence is not isolated, that there's so much context here that we have to try to address. We're talking with the executive director of the Focused Interruption Coalition in Madison. Anthony Cooper stays with us as we consider a rise in shootings this year and what it will take to prevent more in the future. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How has your family been affected by gun violence? What do you want people to understand? Maybe you've lived in an area where you were concerned about violent crime. How has that shaped your outlook on crime and what it takes to prevent shootings? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our conversation continues about trying to prevent gun violence here on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're talking about what goes into community crime prevention in light of a rise in shootings this year in Madison and cities around the country. Our guest is Anthony Cooper, Executive Director of the Focused Interruption Coalition. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What has your experience been with gun violence? How are you thinking about reducing violent crime? What questions do you have for our guest about the on-the-ground work of preventing violence? 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Anthony, tell us more about the Focused Interruption Coalition. What is the purpose of the work?
Well, the purpose of the work is basically, to be able to help situations and help navigate families when they are in these crisis-filled situations. And even if it's at the scene of a crime, and family members are trying to find out if that's a loved one that has been stricken by gunfire, or if it's at the hospital, being able to help them navigate the situation, help them navigate talking with hospital staff, help them navigate with law enforcement calls, or when there is even times when there are, you may have anywhere from 75 to 100 family members that may happen to show up at the hospital to make sure it doesn't become a hostile situation, to be able to help in that process, to be able to become that, to be that trusted messenger in that moment. We respond 24/7. This is something that we, you know, not only just responding at the scene, but also we responded and talking to families and also being able to talk to loved ones when they don't know how to deal or when they're having challenges in the community.
There's been a lot to talk about this year about policing and law enforcement. We've been talking about the relationship between law enforcement and Black people. What kind of policing do you see that's needed to build trust in the long run with more people to hopefully curtail some of this violence?
I mean, one of the things that I think what I must say is the fact that, you know, the relationship between Black and brown people and with the law enforcement is not it's not something that we can just, you know, snap our fingers and say, hey, this is fixed. This is where we have this, we have this, this magic tool, and now everything is going to be all right. It's going to take time, just like it took time for us to get to this moment. Right. And that took time for us to even be able to have the discussion. The one of the bigger challenges is also that there's real action that is happening behind it, to be able to really, you know, to really be able to have to come to the table with an open heart, but then also with an open mind and challenge the ideas of both people in the community, but also law enforcement and how policing is done as well. There's not, you know, there are some great officers out there. There are some people, there are great black people out there, great white people out there. There's people that who really want to be able to see a new way, a new age of doing things, right? But then there are people that who do dumb stuff, right? Who do things that shouldn't and should actually, you know, you should go to jail for that crime, right? But I think the bigger issue is when things are not done just with justice, right? Things are not done fairly. Things are not done on the same level all the way around the board. When those things are not done, then we have we have other challenges. When people are not being held accountable, when those things don't happen, then of course we're going to continue to have problems. It is because if I'm out here, and as a matter of fact, now I think about it, I don't even think it's on the police officers on their badge anymore. Protect and serve. Right. So, you know, so what does that really mean? What is that really? Is it who are you protecting? So, you know, again, it's us being able to have an open and bold conversation. But not only just a conversation, but to be able to make sure that there's action that has to happen behind it. That means I'm talking about from hiring practices. We need to revamp all the way around.
Yeah, we're talking with Anthony Cooper, who's the executive director of the Focused Interruption Coalition, also a nonviolent crisis intervention instructor. And we're talking about interrupting that cycle of violence and preventing gun violence. And as we talk about our communities of color, you know, we heard our earlier guest say, reach out to young people in the black community. Is that where our attention should be? I mean, or is that a sort of victim blaming? I mean, how do we even try to approach this?
But the thing is, we have to reach out to everyone. You know, and I would say this publicly. I love Sherry. She definitely has a lot of phenomenal points of what she hit it on the head. But also, we cannot forget about the mothers. We cannot forget about the fathers because there's a lot of damage that's already been done.
Right. Well,
you know, I'm sorry, but you know, so we have to make sure it's not victim blaming. It's a thing of there's something that needs to be fixed. Excuse my language, but it's not going to just happen overnight. But what I am going to say is, are we willing as a community to put in the work to make sure things change?
Yeah, I think that's what's so striking about this challenge is that there's obviously no one answer to how we're going to solve for gun violence, because there are so many different factors that play into it. And even as you were talking about the different things people are up against with, challenges with work stability or housing instability, or just the stresses that are now placed on these already, frustrating circumstances, it's overwhelming to think about, and it's hard to know where to start so that you're doing good.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I think even though I think I 100% agree with you, but we have to start somewhere, and it can't just be just focused. Because if we only focus on the kids, then we have children that who are still going back home to jacked up families, right? So, or families who are still struggling. So we have to, the focus has to be on the whole family. The focus has to, I'm sorry, the focus has to be on the whole community.
Right. It's not just the kids or the adults or these certain people. It's about everybody because it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we have to make sure that that's happening now, because what's going to happen, there's still going to be some shots fired. There's still going to be some challenges with trust. There's still going to be some other issues that are happening in our community that we can fix together, but it's going to be hard for us to fix it apart because the separation has already been there. The separation has been there for generations.
Anthony, right. We really appreciate your perspective on this, and we thank you for taking the time to talk with us about it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Anthony Cooper is the executive director of the Focused Interruption Coalition. And earlier we talked with Madison Common Council President Sherry Carter. They were with us to talk about community crime prevention in Madison, which, like many cities around the country, is seeing a spike in shootings and homicides this year. And coming up on Central Time on Monday, we're talking about corruption in America. Our guest says the United States shows signs similar to other countries known for unethical practices. We'll also talk about U.S. officials sending migrant kids back to their home countries because the feds say children pose a risk of spreading COVID-19.